thank you, Amy, for ushering us into worship this morning. Thank you, Pastor Chuck, for giving me the opportunity to speak to you. In case you don't know, I'm Pastor Stephen. I'm the children's and senior adult pastor, and I am honored to stand before you today to bring you God's word. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the swimming hole behind his house. In a hurry to dive into the cool water, he ran out the back door, leaving behind his shoes, his socks, and his shirt as he went, and he flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam toward the middle of the lake, an alligator was swimming toward the shore. His father, working in the yard, saw the two as they got closer and closer together. In utter fear, he ran toward the water, yelling to his son, "Jonathan, Jonathan, Jonathan," as loudly as he could. Hearing his voice, the little boy became alarmed, and he made a U-turn to swim to his father, but it was too late. Just as he reached his father, the alligator reached him, and from the dock, the father grabbed his little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. And that began this incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator, of course, was much stronger than the father. But the father was much too passionate to let go. A farmer happened to drive by, and he heard his screams, and he raced from his truck, and he took aim, and he shot the alligator. Remarkably, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy did survive. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal. And on his arms were deep scratches where his father's fingernails dug into his flesh in an effort to hang on to the son he loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he would show him his scars, and the boy lifted up his pant leg. And then, with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms too. I have them because my father wouldn't let go." Today I want to talk to you about being thankful for scars. You heard that right, thankful for scars. With Thanksgiving coming up this week, and you heard the children talk about some of the things, it's easy for us to think about things we're most thankful for. If I were to ask you what you're thankful for, you would probably tell me things like my children, my spouse, my family, my job, food, my house, good health, my friends. You agree with that? I doubt I would hear you say things like, "I'm thankful for this scar caused by the surgery as a result of some disease." Or, "I'm thankful for the scar caused by my divorce." Or, "I'm thankful for the scar caused by a broken relationship." Or, "I'm thankful for the scar caused from me losing a job, causing my family to struggle." Or, "I'm thankful for the scar of being bullied when I was younger." Or, "I'm thankful for the scar of being abused by someone that I thought loved me." You see, I could go on and on and on. But I doubt these are the things that you would have said around the table this Thanksgiving when you shared what you were thankful for. But after today's message, my prayer is this, that you too can be thankful for the scars. Would you look in your Bible in Psalm 147? Psalm 147, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him." The word "praise" is in there three times. It doesn't say praise Him in the good times and the bad times. It says to praise the Lord. Verse 2, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel." And verse 3, where my whole message centers around, "He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds up their wounds." Let us pray. Father, I thank You again for this opportunity to stand before this congregation and bring Your word. Father, thank you for the words that you've laid on my heart. I don't know who they're for, but Father, I pray that it would touch, it would encourage, and it would change lives, Father, as a result of what you're going to do today. Calm my nerves. Hide me behind the cross, because it's not about me, it's all about you. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. So what is a scar? It could be simply defined as a mark left on the skin or a lasting emotional injury. So those are two simple definitions of a scar. But when we think of scars, we oftentimes think of that first definition. We think of the mark left on the skin. We think about that time that you fell on your bicycle when you were learning how to ride your bike and you got a scar, or that time that you got in a wreck and you got injured in some way. Maybe it was the surgery you had and you had a scar. Maybe you got burned and you've got a scar from that. So we think about those type of things. I've got a scar right here. From when I was a boy, I was playing army, and it's about that long, and I hit a piece of tin, and it just scraped down my arm and left a scar. I've got a scar up here on my forehead. When I was young, I was camping at the river with my family. I was following my cousins up this hill, and I grabbed this root, and apparently it let go, and I came rolling down the hill, and there was a stick sticking up at the edge of the water. I hit it with my forehead, and I thought it was water from the river, but it was actually blood. I had so much blood on me, so I've got a scar from that. Then there was the time I was getting ready for college and went to get my shots at the doctor's office. And after getting my shots, I stood up. Well, the next thing you know, I fell backwards, hit the cabinet behind me, and had to end up going to the emergency room and get stitches, get more shots as a result of the shots that I was afraid of. So go figure. Isn't God? He has a sense of humor, but anyway. But we all have scars like that. And you could probably show those around you a scar that you have. But more often, many of our scars cannot be seen. Not all of them are caused by some type of trauma. Not all of the scars that we have on our heart come from a surgeon. You see, some come from relationships that have gone bad. Think about your first broken heart. Maybe you were in middle school or high school, and you just thought you had found the love of your life, and only to be rejected by them. It broke your heart, and to this day, there may be a scar there. Maybe you did find the true love, and you were married and even had children. But years later, for whatever reason, you found yourself in the middle of a struggling marriage that ended with a painful divorce. I can only imagine the scar that would be created as a result. Maybe you were mentally abused. Someone used words to demean and belittle you, and all you ever heard was how terrible of a person you were, how ugly you were, how you can't do that, how stupid you are. And all of those words have replayed over and over and over and over and over in your mind. You're worthless. You can't do that. You're stupid. Don't try that. You can't do it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Yeah, right. Whoever started that lie? Reality is those emotional scars oftentimes go deeper and last longer. I do realize this morning this message is not your typical Thanksgiving message. I realize that it may be even opening up some wounds that you wanted to forget about, wounds that have never healed and formed a scar. But I do have some good news for you. There are three things about scars that I want you to remember. The first thing is this: scars are a sign that we can heal. Think about it. Scars are a sign that we can heal. God is awesome. I mean, awesome doesn't even do that word's used so much today that it really doesn't describe how God, I mean, he's just, woo! I mean, he's just really good, right? I mean, but he made the human body amazingly resilient. Think about it for a second. When you get a cut, your body immediately goes to work to heal it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to coordinate it. You don't have to plan it. Your body just goes to work and does that. That's how awesome God is. You see, once the body is finished and it's working, the wound is closed, there is a scar. The scar is evidence of closure. No more bleeding, no more scabs, just skin. However, when we experience an emotional wound, our body doesn't naturally go into this recovery mode. We have to take an active role in processing what happened and asking God for healing. When we give it to the Lord, He begins to work on our heart. He eases the pain and He grants us the ability to forgive those who has hurt us. So hear this. An emotional wound cannot heal without forgiveness. Did you hear that? And an emotional wound cannot heal without forgiveness. Think of it like this. You've got unforgiveness. You've got bitterness. You've got resentment. You've got grudges. All of those are like an infection. And we all know infection's not good. With them in your life, you will not recover. It's in effect an open wound that will never have the opportunity to scab over, to heal, and to leave a scar. Some of you this morning, you have some wounds, and they go deep, and you've not allowed God to form a scar, and you need closure. Well, how do you get there? What do you need to do? First of all, you must forgive others. And you must forgive yourself. Once you're no longer adding salt to the wounds, once you've given it to the Lord, then He can help you through your pain. Then He can heal the brokenness. Will there be a scar? Sure, there may be a scar. But you need to let the scar be a reminder, not of the pain, but of God's grace. Let it encourage you and remind you of what God has brought you through. It may have been painful. It wasn't fair, but without the goodness of God, you wouldn't be where you are today. Think about it. You would still be wounded. You'd still be hurting. But look at you now. You're restored. You're healed. You're moving forward. So be thankful for your scars, because as you saw, scars are a sign that we can heal. Secondly, scars are a sign that we have experience. We don't really like scars. I mean, really, think about it. You don't like scars. So often we try to hide our scars. I mean, we don't see anything positive about them. In 2016, $16 billion was spent on plastic surgery, with a large part of that $16 billion being spent on trying to get rid of wrinkles and scars. I mean, we think they're unsightly. They remind us of the hurt. They remind us of the pain, the sickness, the betrayal. We just wish they would go away. But I want you to see your scars in a new light, as a sign that we have experience. You see, I want you to see it as an experience that others may be going through right now that could allow you to minister to them, to help them, to encourage them. You see, as you saw from that video, your scars do tell a story. What if the thing you're ashamed of, what if the thing you're ashamed of today was an achievement in the eyes of God? What if the thing you don't want anyone to know about, that thing you want to hide, in God's eyes was the goal He was hoping that you would get to? I'm just saying, think about that for a second. You see, I can't help but think about Paul and all that he went through. I mean, in one of his letters found in Galatians 6:17, he says, "From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of" who? Jesus. So what happened to Paul? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. We find a summary in 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 28. Here's what happened to Paul. Think about it for just a moment. "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, as if that wasn't enough, a true pastor here, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You see, when Paul talks about his scars, he doesn't talk about them with shame. Rather, he says, I've got some credentials. I've got some experiences. That's what he's saying. Again, when we think about the goodness of God and all the things that we're thankful for, we focus on those blessings. We focus on our health, our family, that job promotion, that new thing he gave us. But Paul says, do you want me to tell you about the goodness of God? Let me just show you. Let me show you the goodness of God. I mean, look at my bruises here. That's what he's saying. You want to know how God is? Let me show you this scar. Let me tell you the story. Let me roll up my sleeve and show you this one and tell you about it. No, Paul, I want you to tell me about the blessings. Paul says, I am telling you about the blessings from the bruises. Instead of covering up his scars, Paul rolls up his sleeves and says, sit down. Let me show you. Let me show you my scars. Let me show you my experiences. Tell you about my experiences. Paul's saying, you think you've got it bad? I mean, listen to what happened to me. I know what you're going through. I've been there. I've done that. I bought the t-shirt and I'm still wearing it. I mean, that's what he's saying. Let me encourage you. Let me support you. Let me help you through what you're facing. Let me warn you of what you're going to go through. Could it be that your scar that you're trying to hide is the scar God wants you to use to bless someone else? Could it be the scar that you have was not caused by any mistake that you made, but was to prepare you for what was ahead? I'm asking you to be thankful for your scars because they're a sign that you can heal. They're a sign that you have experience. And then finally, scars are a reminder. Maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor Stephen, I've been through so much. I mean, I have so many scars. I don't see how I could ever be who God wants me to be. I can never measure up. There's no way. I mean, I've made so many mistakes. I'm the biggest sinner, and I've made some really bad choices in my life. Let me just tell you today, I know someone that has more scars than you. Do you know him? And he fulfilled his purpose some 2,000 years ago. He was betrayed by his friends. I mean, he was misunderstood by his family. He was forced to wear a crown of thorns on his head. His hands and feet were pierced where they nailed him to the cross. He had this big gouge on his side from his spear. His back was lashed with 39 stripes. Who is more scarred than our Savior? And what amazes me is when Jesus rose from the dead, this just blew me away when I really thought about it. When he came up out of the grave, you would have thought that he had been completely healed. He had been perfect. That everything restored back to normal. But even though resurrection power caused him to come back to life, guess what he still had? He still had scars. And you see, I believe that's significant because God, he could have taken them away. The scripture even talks about when we get to heaven, we're going to have new bodies. God could have made his skin like new, but on purpose, he left the scars. Maybe in part to show us that it's okay to have scars. It's okay. It's okay that you've made mistakes. It's okay that people betrayed you. It's okay that you lost that loved one. Because you can be at peace knowing that you serve a risen Savior who has scars. Well, after the resurrection, you know the story. The disciples were in the room together, and they had the doors locked when Jesus suddenly appeared. And in John 20, it says, he held out his hands for them to see his scars. He showed them the wounds on his side. Thomas wasn't there that day. And when they told him that they had seen the Lord, he was just, he didn't believe him. He thought that they had seen things. He said, I'm not going to believe until I feel the nail prints in his hands, until I touch the wound on his side. Well, a week later, Jesus appeared again. This time, Thomas was there. And Jesus went over to him. He held out his hands and said, Thomas, touch my scars. Feel the wound on my side. Thomas fell down and said, Lord, I believe. You see, Jesus' scars are a reminder of his great love for us. And the fact that he died on a cross for our sins so that we could spend an eternity in heaven with him. And there's another story in John chapter 5 that I love, that I believe clearly just represents what God would want us to see with scars. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals a man that had been crippled for 38 years. And he said to him, stand up. Pick up your mat and go home. And instantly the man could walk. Now, I believe it's significant that Jesus told him to take his mat with him. Now, think about it. I'm sure after all those years, this mat, it was probably dirty. It probably didn't smell too good. It probably had holes in it. I mean, it was probably a sight to behold. Why didn't Jesus just tell him, hey, throw that mat away? You can walk. I mean, you're not going to need it anymore. You see, that mat was like a scar. It was a reminder of what God has done. It was a part of his story. And I can imagine everywhere the man went, people would ask, what are you still doing carrying that old mat? And he would answer, it may look ugly to you, but to me, it's a beautiful mat. And every time he looked at it, it brought a smile to his face. Under his breath, he would whisper, Lord, thank you for healing me. You know, just like that little boy in the beginning that had scars from his father's fingernails fighting to save him from the alligator. Our Heavenly Father is doing the same thing for you. He's holding on tight. He wants to take those ugly wounds and turn them into scars of beauty. Something that you can be thankful for. You see, if you go back to Psalm 147, praise the Lord. He heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds. Be thankful for your scars. I'm almost certain that a scar has popped into your mind. That everyone can think of some scar that's in their life. Maybe some of you have wounds because you haven't turned them over to God. You haven't allowed him to form that scar and to heal you fully. I don't know what they are, but here's what I want you to do. In front of you, you'll see a Band-Aid. Somewhere in the chair in front of you, there's some Band-Aids. If you'll take one of those Band-Aids, guys up in the balcony, if you'll do the same for me. Whatever that scar was that you thought about, just one, pick one. If you're like me, you've got many to choose from. I want you to just take a moment and think about that scar. And on the backside, write what that scar is. Whether it's some physical scar, maybe it's an emotional scar. So I just want you to take a moment to write it down. I'm not going to read it out loud or make you read it. This is between you and God. But I know that there are some scars in your life that you are thankful for when you really think about it. I know that there are some things in your life that have happened that were hard and tough. But guess what? Those things have made you who you are. And without the Savior, who has more scars than I could imagine, without Him, we would be nothing. So if you would stand with those scars in your hand, Amy's going to come up, and we're going to listen to that song, Scars, again as she signs. And as the song is playing, I want you to just bring up your scar. You can see there's a whole, from the morning group, a lot of scars in there. I just want you to bring it up here, put it in the basket, just as a symbol of the scars that you are thankful for. Maybe you need to bring some wounds up here, and maybe you just need to put them up at the altar and leave them for God. Maybe you need to grab one of the pastors and find out who this Jesus is that we're talking about, who has the scars that died for you on a cross. Grab one of us. We would love to show you.